Welcome to another episode of Spacklegeist, everyone's favorite home improvement advice podcast. This is episode 183, and I'm your host, Jeff.
I'm your host, Matt. We want to thank you for joining us on this trip to your hometown hardware store, but for your ears.
You got it.
I got it.
It was a little tuck and go
in
for
there. In your ears.
In your ears.
That's where my voice goes. Enjoy. It has no other destination.
Oddly aggressive.
Is it?
I feel like it is.
I'm sorry, ears.
My voice is going in your ears.
My voice is going in your ears right now. Prepare your canal.
Do not like.
Ew.
No.
What's the thing where... Oh, hold on.
Okay.
When you're off balance, when you're off kilter.
Uh-huh. Your inner ear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's like a... But there's like a finely tuned instrument in there.
Yep.
And if that... What's that?
There are three bones. The hammer, the...
Sickle.
Stirrup, and the...
And the Santa Maria.
Yep, and the Santa Maria.
Yep. Yep. Sure, that's it.
The hammer, the stirrup, and the Santa Maria.
Yep.
Yeah. That's your inner ear, and that's how you balance.
Aural Polo.
Yep.
Yep.
What's your point?
I lost it. Anyway, this is a home improvement podcast where we take...
Obviously.
We take questions from listeners, answer them, and it's up to you whether or not that's useful or not. That's not on us. There's a legal disclaimer somewhere. I think actually we did update on the website. There's a legal disclaimer that's like we're not responsible because I asked my brother, an attorney, if we need that. And he said, yeah, just bury it somewhere in there, which maybe not the best attorney.
Mm.
So I asked him if we had to put like a disclaimer up top, like at the beginning of every episode, like we don't know what we're doing.
No, I mean, I feel like burying it makes sense because it becomes pretty obvious pretty fast that we are not like other handymen.
Well,
it's not that we don't know what we're doing. It's that we have a different approach.
We're just as confident, but in the other direction. Yes. I feel like if we ever got dragged into court, and please don't sue us to drag us into court, I don't have the suits for it. I would absolutely wear a tool belt with all of my like writs of complaint and objections. I just like pull them from like the hammer hole. If we got in there and I'd be like, excuse me, Your Honor, I'd like to submit into evidence Exhibit A. And it's pick any 30 seconds.
just any.
And the judge would hear it and be like, yeah, I'm going to throw this case out. Any reasonable human being would not hear this and go, you know what? I'm going to try that. They advised using geese as home inspectors. Sure.
Sounds legitimate.
Although, I say that, we live in a litigious nation.
Hmm.
Which is my favorite White Stripes song. That person who sued McDonald's for coffee being too hot.
Hmm.
I feel like could sue us, but we are covered because we advise burn everything. So if they tried to sue us for coffee being too hot, we'd be suddenly like, you know what you do with coffee? You burn yourself.
Yep. No, that makes sense.
And then throw your hot coffee on your bad plumbing.
And your goose. No, I think it checks out. I think we're covered.
You there, boy. What day is it? Why, today is Christmas Day. Great. Go down to the market and get me the fattest goose and then throw a hot McDonald's coffee on it. Ba-da-pa-pa, honk, you're dead now, goose.
Feel like that's a weird start.
Well, we're not even 4 minutes in.
No, that's all right. You want to just jump right into the correctional facility then?
Let's do it then. I mean, I feel like...
Kind of fitting with the theme of the beginning of this episode.
A little bit, yep.
Every once in a while, we say things that are not correct on the podcast.
We don't know it at the time, though.
No, we don't.
Is the important
part. Right, we're 100% confident.
This is our chance to mea culpa.
That's right.
I know that and two other Latin words.
What are the other two?
Latin and words.
Oh. Got me. So, when we do screw up, we usually first blame an intern.
Hang on. We talked about this in a previous episode. When we screw up versus when we nail it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, when we screw up, first, blame an intern.
Blame an intern.
Second, when we find out about it, it shows up in the correctional facility.
That's right.
So, this week in the correctional facility.
In the whoopsie who's gal.
The whoopsie who's gal.
Like
which I'm
one.
Not going to use that.
Well, I'm going to. Guess who gets to edit the descriptions of this episode, Jeff? It is not you.
This is true.
Do we introduce ourselves?
Yeah,
we
the
do.
Very so, beginning.
Yeah, okay.
I'm Jeff. You're Matt.
I don't know that we've ever said our last names on this, and I don't know that we ever are going to. We are just two. We are the Waldorf and Statler.
Uh-huh.
Is that Statler and Waldorf? We are the that of but for home improvement.
That of but for home improvement.
Hardware Muppets.
Hardware Muppets, I think, might be the best description of this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, we could have.
Like, if that was a category on iTunes, we'd
God
just
damn it.
number one.
I really like the name of it because it has a very specific joke of it's Spackle, which is home improvement, but Geist, it's about like current trends in it. It makes no sense, and nor does it help for marketing. I really sincerely, with the from the bottom of my just cold black heart, regret not calling this Hardware Muppets, mm-hmm. everyone's favorite home improvement podcast. I'm probably, well, as we talk, I'm going to go ahead and see if hardwaremuppets.com is taken or not, because we may just transition to that over time. Oh, look at that! Hey, don't take that. TM.
TM.
Anyway, Jeff, we were doing a thing.
What was our thing? Oh, we're going to correct ourselves.
We're in the Whoopsie Who's Gal.
We're in the correctional facility.
Whoopsie Who's Gal.
Whoopsie Who's Gal sounds like a Hardware Muppets segment, whereas the correctional facility definitely is on brand with Spacklegeist.
Well, now that I have you on audio saying Whoopsie Who's Gal, I can 100%
just cut that back
yep,
in.
Absolutely.
Time for a quick trip to the Whoopsie Who's Gal.
Look, you said it. Mm-hmm. Also, not for nothing, but we've done 22, 23 episodes of this. I'm pretty sure I could cut together any audio of you to make Ted Kaczynski's manifesto. So, look.
And especially that time that I just read Ted Kaczynski's manifesto. That was a long episode.
You made a fatal mistake with that, contributed to that corpus. That was all on you, friend.
Yeah, you're right. So the correction this week, Matt, it has come to our attention that cement is neither a minty species of kelp nor a government conspiracy. It's just something that goes into concrete. We really lost the thread on that one, and we are sorry.
You know what? I know that we're legally obligated to issue that correction. I'm holding to it as a government conspiracy. It is what is cement but chemtrails on the ground?
Just chemtrails turned into building materials.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tish.
Yish.
Tish.
Like, this just harkens back to the lumber Area 51 that we had.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the extent of it, I guess.
I got nothing. Yeah. Something about Roswell and then a, I don't know, tree pun. Who the shit cares? What does this even matter?
So, Matt, what you working on?
Well, Jeff. You know how a couple weeks ago I installed a, well, I guess a couple months ago now, I installed a new garbage disposal?
Yes.
You
replaced that goat that you had tied up under your sink.
He wasn't tied up. He was free to leave at any time. I think he had, what's that thing where you fall in love with your captors?
Stockholm Syndrome?
Yep, he had that.
Oh.
He was a goat with Stockholm Syndrome. Something, something. I know this is bad for me, but who am I kidding? Other puns about goats. Who gives a shit?
Boy,
yeah.
This is just...
I installed a new garbage disposal a couple months ago and just finished up installing a new dishwasher last week. And I have not apparently been maintaining my garbage disposal the way I should have been. Running it regularly because I live alone. You know, not a lot of dishes, not a lot of food.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things go in the trash. And, you know, old habits break hard.
Right.
Old habits break bad. This old house habit breaks garbage. You're supposed to, like, run it regularly and, you know, keep the blade sharp by putting ice cubes in it and running that. Real tip. And I had not done that. So I had allowed a... basically, like, a key party for fruit flies.
Ooh.
They call it breeding grounds.
Mm.
I like to harken back to a simpler time in the 70s. You show up, you put your wing in a bowl.
Right.
Then you take another wing, and you just fly home with that attached to your back, and it will, like, auto-guidance you to whatever.
Yep.
Yep. fruit fly.
No, I'm pretty sure that's how fruit flies work.
Fruit fly fuck hovel that you end up at.
And it turns out most of them ended up in your garbage.
As it turns out, yeah. Most of them ended up in my sinkerator. So I've been dealing with that infestation, and we've been waging war. I feel like I've kind of established on the podcast. I have opened a multi-front war against a lot of the animal kingdom. Possums, spiders, now fruit flies.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've been working on has been, I don't know how else to call it, but I'm forcing just kind of naming a fruit fly Ragnarok.
Ooh.
Well, I'm trying to bring about not just like the ones that, you know, to try and get them what live in my garbage disposal.
Sure.
But to unmake the species.
Wow.
Yeah. I realize they live in more places than my disposal.
Yeah, a lot more, I think.
But, you know, baby steps. And my baby steps is putting out a little dish with mm-hmm. some apple cider vinegar and some dish soap. Here's the beauty of that. They can't resist the apple cider vinegar.
Well, who can?
And then they can't escape the dish soap. It is, it's like if we, like every one of those intervention shows on Discovery about like the horrible, like human horrors of addiction,
mm-hmm.
and then dish soap. they get drawn in and they go, man, I know I'm going to die in there. Not only that, but I can see, if you wouldn't encounter now, I can see maybe 60, 61 of my fallen brothers and sisters in there. But you know what? God damn that. I mean, that apple cider. What am I supposed to say? No to that? Worth it. And then they dive in and then they die.
Wow.
I'm trying not to like make it a spectator thing for me where I sit there and watch them expire.
But that does explain why you were sitting on your kitchen counter when I came here today.
Well, it's real comfortable. And you see like the cold light just fade from their tiny fruit fly eyes as you cackle among them and say like, I am, I am the Fenrir. Here to bring about your unmaking as guardian, but fruit fly?
As guardian fruit fly. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've been working on.
That's
Jeff.
Dark, Matt.
Is it?
It feels like it.
That's all
it was the cold light fading from their eyes part that I think is where it turned.
I can't finish if I don't see it. Jeff, what you been working on?
Matt, in my ongoing attempt to connect our podcast with the youths, I've been working on fidget spinners.
We talked about that before.
Did we?
Yeah.
When?
A couple episodes ago, I believe. Just because I can remember that Bridget spinners is a thing that you made a joke on and said that you went to high school with her.
Well, I did go to high school with Bridget spinners.
Well, at least that's consistent. Good job.
Shit.
Go ahead and continue, Jeff. You've been working on fidget spinners. Well, maybe you're working on a different aspect of fidget spinners.
Well, I don't actually have a plan. I just know the kids like fidget spinners, and there's a lot of stuff in home improvement that spins. You got your drills. You got your Dremels. You got your...
Does everything in home improvement that spins start with a DR?
You got your drum sanders.
Dominican
Shit.
Republic.
Yep. What?
Hmm? Doctor. My doctor spins. My spin... Oh, my God.
Your
spin
doctor. I want a redo on what you're working on.
You know what the kids love is the hit song Two Princes by the Spin Doctors. Because it starts with the DR. This one is going to spin on your finger. Go ahead now. This one's got better ball bearings. Going to spin longer now. This one, how many fingers do you have? Oh my God, you are a freak of nature and probably an alien. You shouldn't have so many fingers that spin on. This one, you better bring him to a government facility. We're going to test him to see why he has so many fingers for Bridget spinners now.
I would just like to point out, Matt,
mm-hmm.
that I know your family history, but you listed three fidget spinners, and you seemed like that was a government research worthy number of fingers.
Jeff, you show me the fucking kid who can sustain like a dish spinner in a goddamn Barnum and Bailey carnival circus, three fidget spinners on his normal 10-fingered hand, and I will show you a kid who should be cast in season 2 of Stranger Things. And yes, I'm just now remembering that it's canon on this podcast that I have 14 fingers. Maybe 10 episodes ago. It's been a while. Let me count them back. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Yep, okay, there it is. Yep, It's been 14 episodes ago.
So, Matt, what I'm working on is just an elaborate setup to get you to go to the circus with me.
Hard pass. If you do, I'm going to set clowns on fire. That is an out of fiction guarantee.
Do you think there are clown free circuses? No clown zones.
It just stopped clowning around, and they took that as like a directive. I mean, there have to be, right? Well, there are now, because didn't Barnum and Bailey shutter their?
Well, yeah, but that was because of the elephants, not the clowns. And you know what are elephants but the clowns of nature?
Don't you put that on elephants. Elephants are beautiful creatures, Jeff. They feel, they have empathy, they mourn their dead. Clowns are unsympathetic, uncaring, killing machines. If I could, I would, you know what? Just break the character for a second. I would pay upwards of $3,000 to watch an elephant stomp on a clown's head. Hey, kids. Death. Well worth the money. Dollar bills, y'all. Plus, you get free popcorn. Anyway, Jeff, should we go?
And those orange dish sponges that they feed you?
Yeah.
Those are so good.
Sure. And circus peanuts. Should we go to listener questions?
I think we have to at this point, because I feel like if we just keep talking to each other, things are just going to get worse and worse.
So I feel like I'm on a killing streak. Fruit Fly Ragnarok and Elephant Stomping Clown Death.
Yep.
By the way, you can check me out. Fruit Fly Ragnarok opening for Elephant Stomping Clown Death at Hopscotch this fall in Raleigh, North Carolina. Sponsored by Hot Topic.
So much like most failing marriages, let's bring in somebody new. It's time for listener questions, Matt.
Jeff, what we got on the listener docket this week?
Listener docket this week, Matt. I don't know that we should call it a docket.
Yeah.
I think you're hung up on the lawsuit that's inevitably coming.
We are always either anticipating or recovering from lawsuits.
This is true.
It's an evanescence state of being. And I will thank you to wake me up. Wake me up inside! When we are no longer litigiously encumbered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
No, I think that got it.
Litigiously Encumbered, coming Tuesdays this fall to ABC, starring William Shatner.
Oh.
And who was the dancing baby? Calista Flockhart, that was it.
No, she was not the dancing baby. That was part of her show.
I thought she...
She did the mocap for it, though, yeah.
Tiny Calista Flockhart mocap.
With all of the dots all over
yep,
her.
And, sure. Yep, sure. She's married to Harrison Ford, right?
Say that again?
She's married to Harrison Ford, right?
I think so.
Okay. That's not super relevant to Home Improvement.
It's
just
not.
Yeah. Some people are out there right now, of our 17 listeners, are going, mm-hmm. Huh, you're right.
You're right. Okay.
I've been thinking about that. I was trying to remember that for a long time. Thanks for saving me the Google search. You're welcome.
Home Improved. Maybe they were having a fight about it.
Yeah.
With their significant other.
Now we have improved
That's right.
their home. Just like, not unlike last week when we role played as the couple who was encountering the sticky AC situation. And inexplicably, my character had a foghorn leghorn voice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to say inexplicably. Like, I know where that...
Yeah, I've got some theories.
I knew from which that well was drawn, but mm-hmm. sure.
So that's 7 minutes later, our first listener question, Matt.
Yep. We're at 19 and a half minutes. We're getting to our first listener question.
Oof, we're
doing a great job. Wow. Yep.
Okay. So, this email came to us from listener Jamie D. Jeff and Matt, first off, little familiar. Longtime listener, first time emailer. My friend Candy wants me to build her some weird structure that looks like something a fireman would slide down from a second story bunkhouse to a first floor engine room. She says she is going to use it to exercise, but I don't know how that'll work.
Okay.
Anyways, the question is whether or not to use nails or screws to attach it to the ceiling.
Well, obviously, all right, let's fucking hooray. Way to be a child and ride into a serious home improvement podcast.
Look at me, sex joke.
What you're obviously talking about here, and I don't appreciate you bringing sex into it, is one of them wavy slides you find on a playground. That's how firemen get from, like, second floor to first floor, right?
Well, right.
They just...
Well, I mean, everybody knows that firemen do a really hard job. And
they are
heroes every day.
We could never do that.
And they need a little whimsy.
What every single fire call starts with. What's the sound that the siren makes, Jeff?
Wee, wee, wee.
What does that start with, Jeff?
Wee.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. They go down the slide, they go, wee, 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 wee.
And those are the waves.
From the second floor, it starts with wee. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you hit that first one, like, oh my God, someone might die. Woo.
Oh, yeah.
And then like, but we get to go in a truck. Wee. But someone's dog is probably burning. Woo. But then hang on. We get to fire a big old hose. Wee. But seriously, let's take our job response. Like we need to get out to that fire and stop it.
Right. Woo, 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 woo. Woo, woo, woo.
Yep.
So
if you're going to try and replicate that, couple things. One, was it wife, girlfriend? What is it?
Girlfriend.
Candy. Wants to get some more exercise in it. I get it. Sliding, it's like the Billy Bo Tybo of the 20-teens. There's a sentence.
Was it?
Yeah, kind of. I think the exercise comes not in the, like, assisted descent of just sitting.
Right.
And being taken down.
by gravity.
Right, on a decline 45 degrees.
Right.
I think it's the having to climb back up the stairs to do it.
Right.
So really what we're not talking about, I think he's asking the nails and screws question, is not about like how to secure that slide, because it's like a uniform piece of plastic you just put in.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just do, you know, like a 45 degree angle of plywood. You want to sand it down. 220, even 300 grit. But mostly you're talking about, like, either the spiral staircase that goes back up,
mm-hmm.
or the, like, handhold for, like, rock climbing.
Oh,
to
yeah.
get back, the climbing wall to get back sure. up there. In which case, I would say, I mean, nails or screws, they're going to hold about the same, mostly. But if you have a newborn in the house, or if you're worried at all about, like, waking people up, if you're doing this at night, if you use nails, they're going to creak. If you use screws, they're not. Structural integrity, screws are probably better. You want to make sure when you drill, here's a quick drilling tip. When you drill and you use the, what's that thing we call the drilly bit?
I think that's the drilly bit.
Yeah, when you use a drilly bit, you want to set your drill at, they usually have like a 1 or a 2 power setting. You want to set it to the 2, and you want to turn it, the crank to the thing that shows the drill. Sometimes it's up to 20, sometimes it's the drill. You want to put that through so you don't, you want to make sure you get that through. But then when you're screwing that screw in, if it's less than a number 10, you want to make sure you switch that back to a 1 and bring it down to like a 10 or 12 so you don't strip that out. And you don't make sure that the crank turns for no reason. What I'm saying is, use the screws.
Oh.
Use the screws.
I think you're making a t-shirt.
Oh, hang on. Oh, Jesus. I just got it.
Okay.
I legitimately just got this and I'm very excited. Use the screws or lose the snooze.
Oh.
Because nails creak at night, and you just might wake up your baby. Can we fit that on a t-shirt?
We can fit that on a
can
t-shirt.
Can we go front and back for that? That'd be fine.
I mean, all of our t-shirts are extra, extra, extra large.
That's right. It's a functional tent.
Yep.
We're in the sartorial prepper business.
I mean, I wanted to make sure that all of our t-shirts double as tarps for if you're painting
yeah,
a room.
Absolutely.
Parachutes mm-hmm. if you're jumping out of a room you just painted.
Yeah. There, you should never be wearing something that can't be used as a parachute in a pinch.
That does explain your pant choice in the late 80s. So
it doesn't help. I jump off of every roof I'm on just to try and end this. I'm like, maybe this is the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Groundhog Day, but without Bill Murray learning how to play the piano.
But you were in those pants, and they just poof right out and slow your descent.
Whoa, 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 whoa. That's how that Hammer song goes, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, that's good.
Oh, I thought that was just a British fire engine.
Fuck you. Fuck you 1,000 times. Ah, God damn it. Next question.
Next question comes to us.
You're welcome, Jamie.
I feel like mostly you just picked a fight with Jamie, and I'm really not sure. Let's see. The Washington Post told me that $100 of...
Stop. No. Who does it come from?
Oh, this one comes from Kyle.
Because otherwise, I don't know that you're just saying this, like,
oh, no.
And quoting, like, hey, you know what's in the news?
I'm so mad.
I'm Mark Maron now. But 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, this comes to us from listener Kyle O.
Hello, Kyle O.
Kylo Ren.
No, boo. But yes.
The Washington Post told me that $100 of Bitcoin bought in 2010 is worth $75 million today.
What?
Is there anything at my local hardware store that will make me a millionaire in 2025?
Oh, man. Okay, so... What is money appreciation based on? Wait. 3, 2, 1.
Rarity.
Scarcity. Oh, we're pretty good.
No, that's not, not bad, actually.
Rarity and scarcity. Okay. So what in a hardware store is hard to find or hard to come by?
Well, it's not what's hard to come by today.
It's what's
going to be hard to come by in 2025.
All right, we're going to count it down again.
Okay.
3, 2, you got to count with me.
Oh, you? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you were just preparing.
Three, two, one.
Teenagers. Paint samples.
What did you say?
I said paint samples.
I said teenagers.
You did.
Maybe let's start with you.
Okay. Well, I mean, this is actually based on something I read. So I was reading an article. It was on the internet. You wouldn't know it.
Inner what?
The you wouldn't be able to find it. I think it probably got taken down by now.
Netter who?
And I think,
HTT how colon www.whatsthisnow.com/UK.co
with a question mark.
Yep.
So the way I found it was I fell asleep on my keyboard. Mm-hmm. And then when I woke up, I had been typing into the address field, so I just hit enter.
Sure.
And it brought me to this article.
Mm-hmm.
And this article is all about how in the year 2023, we are going to run out of blue. Just the color blue.
What?
So blue paint is going to be super scarce.
How?
Well, it's just like oil.
But blue is not oil. I know they both have the letter L in them, but that's not the same thing.
How?
Who?
Hmm? You don't like my answer?
Fossil fuels.
Uh-huh.
Fossil blues.
Yes. I think you're almost there. You're recreating the first paragraph of this
oil,
article.
Teal.
Yep.
Turquoise. Turquoil.
Uh-huh. You're almost there.
Exxon Mobil Blue. Ah, yep. There it is.
Yep.
Ah, shit.
So when we hit peak blue, just after that, we're going to hit a point where there's just no more blue. You're just not on board with this, Matt.
I don't understand. I genuinely don't understand how this is possible. Because blue exists in the world.
Well, now it does.
The sky. Are you telling me that in 2023, the sky is going to look something different?
Yeah.
What's it going to look like?
Less blue.
Okay.
You know how some days it's cloudy? And,
yeah.
And the sky's gray?
Mm-hmm.
More like that.
But like always?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. Okay. I have some concerns.
What are your concerns?
What's going to happen to the Mississippi Delta music scene? What's going to happen to the St. Louis hockey scene? What's going to happen to Eiffel 65? What's going to happen to Beyonce's baby? What's going to happen to my favorite brand of ice cream? What's going to happen to... I've run out of examples.
Okay. So, first, I'm going to take those out of order. And we're going to come to the actual conclusion.
What's going to happen to our favorite media format for watching upgraded DVDs?
That's good.
Somewhere HD DVD is cackling. And saying, I told you. One day I told you.
In their basement somewhere.
The gypsy witch was right.
Okay, so to take your answers out of order.
Mm-hmm.
Eiffel 65. what's going to happen to them or what happened to them.
Abadiabuda.
I don't even. The St. Louis Hockey, they're just going to become the Grays.
Well,
and that's they're going to switch the mascot to an alien.
To the Anatomies.
To the what?
Great Grays, St. Louis Grays Anatomy.
Like the TV show, Matt.
TV what now?
The TV show or the book with all of the skeleton drawings?
Book what now?
But I think actually you nailed the
Jeff. You know how there's like cow molars, and that helps them eat. Cow. That's what I'm talking about. Grey's Anatomy.
That's not okay.
Who?
I'm not.
We are looking for Gray's Clues. We are looking for Gray's Clues. We are looking for Gray's Clues.
So, Matt, you think we're going to run out of teenagers by 2025?
You want to get back to me? Yeah. I want to get back to me.
Well, see, seeing as how you're just not buying into the blue shortage.
I genuinely don't understand how we can run out of blue. Like, I don't. The fundamental concept of it eludes me.
Do you want to just go back and try again?
Do existing blues disappear, or is it just new blues?
Well, they're used up.
They're now I just want to make puns on that. And this is where it's getting in. They're bluesed up.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that...
See? Every time you do that, a little blue disappears
every
from the
time
world.
I blew that.
A little more blue disappeared.
New and used, it doesn't help that they rhyme, where I can say blue and bluesed.
Do you think new and used rhyme?
They're slant rhymes.
Are they?
New. Use. New. Use.
Still new, not hearing it.
New. Use.
Nope.
Are you fucking kidding me? You need to get your Santa Maria checked. I'm really glad I brought that back.
Good throwback. So, teenagers, Matt.
Yeah, they're a non-renewable use source.
Well, that's not true.
It is true. It's more true than your blue story.
But
Jeff, you know about millennials?
Yes. Well, number one, no.
What do you know about millennials?
They eat avocado toast.
Yeah, shut up. How do we define them?
Everybody who came of age at the millennium. I think it's like mostly.
Roughly people
kids.
Who were born between what years?
I've seen that vary. So let's just call it 1990 and let's say 85 and 95.
Okay, there's some people would say like 80. Yeah. I think there's an argument for that. But
I definitely think there's an argument for
that. Yeah, so like 85 to 95.
Sure.
So my concern that if, what was this question? Kyle Lowe. I would say invest in millennials, by which I mean, I don't know, add them to your payroll, I guess, so that you can make money off of them. The point is, I keep on reading these articles in the newspaper that say that millennials are killing industry, like traditional industries that boomers loved, like diamonds and the housing market,
right,
and Applebee's. So I kind of like take that to its logical conclusion. Millennials will kill all things. They are the all-consuming death of the world based on their Venmo buying habits.
Okay.
So, if everything else dies at the hands of millennials, what do we have left? Only millennials.
I see.
So, the thing you can invest in at your local hardware store that will be worth $1 billion in 20-whatever is teenagers. Because they're the last ones who will be born as millennials. Because they will kill off all of human existence and reproduction as we know it. Because they like their avocados.
Wow. That took another dark turn, Matt.
Did it?
Yeah, I feel like it did.
Take a dark turn or take it a navy blue turn? Oh, my God. No, no more navy blue turns because those are gone in your world.
Yeah, we'll see who's laughing in 2025.
Yeah, we will.
When I've got the last pair of jeans.
Hey, thanks for coming. We're just the man group.
How did you know about my date last weekend? Man, I think it's time to pay some bills.
Is it?
It's probably, well, number one, all of our bills are overdue.
Well,
number two,
over blue. Jeff, it's okay.
See, you're part of the problem.
I went to business school, Jeff. It's okay. I just looked at our books. We're in the blue. It's okay. You've heard about in the black.
I have.
You've heard about in the red.
I have several times.
We're in the blue.
Wow.
We've transcended space, time, and spreadsheets.
It's like we've gone so far and so fast into the red that we have Hubble shifted. Nope. Yes. Doppler shifted.
And it's just everything is just
everything is shifted to blue.
Yep. It is space balls just jumping into hyperspace. We are just seeing our bills pass by us as light photons.
We are in the black. We are in the red. Now we Doppler shifted to blue.
We are in the just on the entire Roy G. Biv spectrum.
And I'm assuming one of those is good at some point.
Yes,
right?
I think if you just go all the way to violet, someone pays you. Anyway, here's the invoice minute.
Uh-huh.
That was the very end of the sound break there. The invoice minute is where we catch up on bills for things that we have done for people. For which we are still waiting to be paid. We say minute. It has never taken a full minute to read these names off. I think more accurately, it's the average of the time it takes to read the names and the cockamamie bullshit we talk about before and after.
Well, right.
And then it just kind of.
And also, if we were a little more exact, like the invoice 27 seconds actually just takes longer to say than invoice minute.
Not to mention the incredible anxiety that would place on us to hit 27 seconds.
Because if you remember, listeners, we tried to time ourselves, and it was so stressful.
Yeah. Leanne Rimes would not have a hit single in 2027 by your metric. Her song, Blue?
Number one, I got nothing here.
She's so lonesome.
Number two, we've moved on.
I have not. In this invoice minute, first up, Dr. Karen Martin, looking for $75 for evaluating your deck screws and recommending a new sealant. Ms. Thurston, still waiting on $35 for sharpening your bandsaw blade. Mr. Wittenberg, $114,000 in insurance money for rigging your mountain cabin porch to collapse so you could fake your own death. And, of course, Mr. Kaufman for services rendered. This has been this week's Invoice Minute with Matt, and Jeff is there also.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to add. All of those invoices checked out.
Yeah.
I mean, we provide valuable services.
So what one thing we could do is you could keep a running total of the amount of money we are owed in this podcast.
This is true.
75 and 35 is what? 110. 110 and 114,000 is what? 114,110. So Jeff, mark it down. We are owed $114,110 as of this week.
Uh-huh.
If you don't want to go back and listen to all the other episodes. First
really,
of all,
really don't.
Secondly, start it here. Mark it down in that that typewriter, but what is from internet.
114,110. Okay.
How do you measure a day in the life? 114,110. That is the invoice. Invoice minute.
Are you trying to get a suit again?
No such thing as blue.
Also, just not going to let that go, huh?
Teens are apparently the last ones on Earth. It's all about avocados.
So that's been the invoice minute, huh? That was...
Yep. Let's get one more question in.
Every conversation is a journey with you. You know that?
Well,
Last question, nice and simple one, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
This one comes to us from Terry H.
Hello, Terry.
Should I tip my repairman?
That's it? No.
I mean, that's what Terry H. wrote. Yeah. Should I tip my repairman?
That's actually a great question.
It is. Well, my first question is, did he just deliver you a pizza?
What are you tipping him for? Also, let's not be so, what's it, gender normative?
Mm.
Repairman. Repair person.
That's sure.
Should you tip the person that provided a service for you that you could otherwise not do?
Right.
Right. So, breaking it down that way, you go to a restaurant.
Yes.
You order food.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot go back to the like the kitchen of the Denny's, make your own food, and then bring it out and go, I'm doing this so I don't want to pay you extra for bringing me pancakes.
Right. You can do that, but you get kicked out of that Denny's.
Right. Which means, for all intents and purposes, you can't do that.
Sure.
Because you got to get that Grand Slam slaughter. You order a pizza from Domino's. You can choose to go pick it up. You don't have to tip. You
mm-hmm.
still should. Mm-hmm. Or they can bring it to you. You tip.
Right.
Because you're tipping for the, I would say, the convenience. Is that why you're like, it all comes down,
I agree with that.
It comes down to two parts. You're tipping for the convenience of the service they're providing, and you're tipping because the capitalistic system that we live in does not reward people for work in the same way that they should, and that they don't pay a living wage to people who bust their ass to serve you food and sling you drinks.
100% true.
Do you tip a manicurist?
Yes.
Right. Do you tip a barber?
Yes.
Do you tip a mortician?
I have no idea. Do you?
You pay him 2 cents. 2 pennies on the eyes to pay the ferryman of Chiron.
Yeah, that's not
Cross
a mortician,
the river
though. Nope, I think you're confusing morticians with Greek gods again.
Mm. No, because the Greek god I pray to is Mortician. He's a Greek-Jewish god.
Now, I've told you this so many times. Our neighbor, Mort, is not a Greek god.
Well, that's on you to decide. Mort would disagree. I think it comes down to... You're paying the person the agreed-upon rate for doing a service that you could not do.
Sure.
If they did it in a manner which went above and beyond...
Okay.
You tip them generously.
Mm-hmm.
I think I personally, well, I wouldn't hire anyone to do a service for me around my house that I couldn't already try and then burn down myself. Two, I don't want anyone showing up who knows what they're doing to show me up in trying to do that thing.
Right.
But putting myself in the, you know, breaking that fifth wall, I would say that, yes, tip your repair person, but it's on you to figure out how much, because there is no situation which you don't second guess yourself of saying, am I doing too little? Like, you just spent $800 installing new gutters. Here's a tenner. And they're like, the fuck am I supposed to do with this? Like, that's Wendy's for one.
Here's two crisp dollar bills.
Yeah, like, what am I supposed to? Great. Thanks. Like, how do you weigh out and balance out, like, insulting versus appreciation?
Right.
And that's...
There's no answer, though.
There's no... I mean, that...
See, my... I don't even have a joke answer here. Like, I think that you just have to accept that you're going to pay a little extra to have somebody come and burn down your project at your house.
Right.
And... you're already paying for the convenience. Like, you don't tip your doctor.
You don't?
Maybe that's why I get such bad health care.
Yeah, I tip my doctor all the time. I tip him in drill bits, but...
Here's a fiver. Go buy yourself something nice, doc.
go see a Star Wars. I think, like, to be honest, if the project is over $500, give the person who did it a 20. Because whatever rate they get, they will always appreciate a 20. Anything less than that could be construed as insulting, But a 20 is a, like, look, I chose one bill, and I gave this to you. 100 would be ostentatious. A 10 would be insulting. Here's a 20, because we don't have one between those. I'm ignoring U.S. Grant on the 50. Because who carries a 50?
Nobody, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I have two, but the 50... Yeah, but
those are just stuck to you.
Right. In, like, your rare... In your Pokemon versus dollars system...
Right.
The 50 and the $2 are, like, your rares.
Yes.
And the rest are whatever the rest of that... I haven't played that game in a long time. But the point is...
You committed to a Pokemon joke.
Abandoned it immediately. Ditching out on this joke, I choose you. It was super effective. Tip him a 20 if it was over $500. Under that, it's up to your discretion. Always offer him a beer, regardless.
Always.
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 They will turn it down, most likely. If not...
If not, maybe don't tip them.
Maybe don't tip them. It depends on the time of day. If you're the last job, sure. If you're the first job, maybe just have a chat with them. Who hurt you?
So turn your new rumpus room into an intervention. So to answer the question, should I tip my repairman? Number one, offer him a beer. If he takes it, you might have to have an intervention.
Stop saying he.
Sorry.
They.
If they, I apologize. I was reading Terry's question again.
Sure.
If they accept it, you might have to have an intervention. Because it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. What are you doing drinking a beer? I just wanted to run.
5 o'clock somewhere. You are literally on the other side of the world.
I just wanted to rumpus room. Yep. I don't need this. Number two, throw him a 20.
Toss him a 20.
It feels a little condescending to throw money at someone.
Well, don't throw them.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Put it in a t-shirt can at least.
Make sure it's a bill. This is not the situation for loose change.
Right. Or a t-shirt worth $20.
That says it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Right.
Hold on.
But make sure... hang on. If you do act now... Make sure that your t-shirt that says it's 5 o'clock somewhere that you fire from a t-shirt cannon that you are tipping a repair person who has done a service to your house is a t-shirt colored blue, and then attach a little note that says, this will appreciate in value. And then off it goes.
You son of a bitch. It was just a...
And fired at a teenager.
Why are you like
Jeff,
this?
Jeff, that's about all the time we have, except for one more thing.
Nope, you said we're out of time.
I
feel like
that's
we're already
just
running
about
long.
All the time we have for.
Nope,
it's
no,
time
geez.
For
look
everyone's
at that clock.
Favorite segment. Again, no one has validated this or verified it, but nor has anyone verified or validated that we call ourselves everyone's favorite home improvement podcast. And that's not on me. That's not on you. That's not on anyone. Time for Hardware I'm Hard For.
Oh, yeah.
What happens in this segment, Jeff?
In this segment, Matt.
Best I can tell, mostly you despair while I just
for a couple of minutes. I enter a fugue state and just kind of just really check out.
While you're in that fugue state, I enter a toccata state, and together we have a nice classical piece of music. Jeff, you know how there's literacy?
Matt, you know how there's ads?
God damn it, every fucking time. Every fucking time. I got it right once in like the last 20. And I was so proud of myself.
You lorded it over me.
So proud of myself. Yeah, Jeff, I know how there is ads.
Yeah, we do have ads.
Jeff, do we have a sponsor this week?
We do.
Oh, why don't you tell me about it?
One of us has to make money since your invoice collecting doesn't work.
I've switched to an entirely t-shirt-based economy.
So you turned all of your corn into t-shirts, huh?
Well... I make t-shirts out of husks.
Oh.
Yeah. You know how Jimi Hendrix had castles made of sand? I have t-shirts out of husks.
Selling a lot of those?
They both melt into the sea eventually. It's weird.
Huh.
Water soluble. Corn shirts.
Water. Matt's water soluble corn shirts. Don't wear them in the rain. Matt, the sponsor for Hardware We're Hard For this week, Hardware You're Hard For this week. Let's see, let me get the email pulled up. There's no job too big or too small for Dill McSweeney. Maybe you want that authentic by hand feel without all the effort, or maybe it's just a task you're not equipped for. For any job you don't want to do, Dill does. Visit us at dildoes.biz.
This fucking segment. Every fucking time. I'm so disappointed in what you bring to the table with this. Because you make me go to a website.
Matt, that's just the new reality.
Send me the goddamn magazine. Dill does. Quarterly. It's a periodical.
For all your Dill does needs.
I need high glossy Dill does. I don't want to go online for this shit. Anyway, Jeff, you know how there's literacy? Oh, hey, hang on.
Yeah.
Kind of relevant.
Yeah, it is. Yes, I'm aware of literacy, Matt.
I'm going to get...
Are you?
Well, I'm going to put the us in literacy. I'm going to cut straight to it. None of this, like, grand lead-up bullshit. Which just clearly antagonizing 4 minutes for a not that great payoff for a joke.
So this is just about literacy then?
Well, no. I mean, it can't just be about that. But Jeff, the hardware I'm hard for this week is a carpenter's pencil.
Hmm. Okay.
Now, most of us on the job site have one.
Sure.
Up to that to make marking.
Write love notes.
Well, Jeff, it's interesting you mentioned that. Because I have only ever used a carpenter's pencil up to this point to, just kind of designate things for cutting and for saying...
Like writing lines and writing measurements.
Yeah, and saying, you know, you are a 16-foot fascia board, but based on where I mark you, you will be separated in twain.
Wow, okay.
And no longer will you feel that connection, that wholeness to the rest of you, because the project I need you for says 10 foot, not 16 foot. And the power we wield with that carpenter's pencil, the power to separate wholeness and unity and being, the power to, like gods, dictate what entities, what material existence starts and stops, where we bifurcate these units of living, and we say, no, not this, this but less. That's all I've known it for. But Jeff, I got to thinking. This is a responsibility. It's not just for marking 2x4s or cross cuts. You can use it to remark on the process of what that cross cut means. You can use it to write your feelings down. And I started on a scrap piece of paper. And I just wrote, sad, I guess, question mark, harumph. And that's where it started. And that was about 8 a.m. on a job site. And then I ended up covering an entire new construction apartment complex Tyvek house wrap in a treatise about the purpose of human existence in a cold, uncaring cosmos that pays little attention to the whims of talking apes trying to amuse themselves with travertine tile and crown molding, all to avoid thinking about the inevitability of their own unmaking and the expansion of the universe such that atoms aren't in close enough proximity to interact with each other, and just all of creation floats apart like two otters who forgot to lock paws in the night. Anyway, the pencil's really useful for marking 2x4s. So I guess in sum, the hardware I'm hard for this week is a carpenter's pencil.
Just, Just so you like sharpen that with a utility knife thing?
Yeah, sure. Or just, you know, any good concrete block, you can just kind of rub it against there.
That's a good point.
Pocket knife.
Yeah.
Anyway, we want to thank you for listening to this episode of Spackelgeist, everyone's favorite home improvement podcast. You can check us out on the web at spackelgeist.com. You can tweet us using the username at spackelgeist. Send us your questions. You can also hashtag it with spackelgeist. All those things. Jeff, I believe the easiest way to get in contact with us is information in the secret that you have.
Information in the secret?
No, whatever. Why don't you keep talking? Hey, how about you just give them the way to email us before Blue runs out?
Why are you so... Why are you so angry about email all the time, Matt?
It's on the internet. You know what? If you can print a magazine to send it to me, which I guess is what email was before we had the internet. Never mind. Right. Hang on.
You've invented the postal service, Matt.
I've reinvented. You're welcome.
So the easiest way to get a hold of us is to just drop us an email. Mm-hmm. And the email address, we have just so much trouble getting the emails through. But our email address is spackelgeist. And the easiest way to remember this.
Hang on.
Right?
The full email address.
Is spackelgeist@gmail.com.
Boom, done. Easy.
Right. And if you ever have any trouble spelling out spackelgeist...
Yep.
Is you take the area codes for Sebastian, Florida, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, and Milledgeville, Georgia, and you punch those into a T9 word, and then that will spell out spackelgeist at Gmail, gmail.com.
That's all right. That's great. That's great. While you're doing that and thinking about us, go ahead and leave us a review on iTunes. It would really help us out to let us know how we're doing. Give us a rating, too, just so we can have enough so it shows up and lets us know whether or not the entire internet thinks we are hot garbage. Or at least providing some respite from this cold, uncaring entropy of the cosmos. Anyway, that's going to do it for us here on the podcast. Jeff? What is it we always say?
Measure once, cut twice, set it all on fire.
Right. He's been Jeff, I've been Matt, you've been great, and this has been Spackelgeist 183.